old is the word hello?
What's the dark brown secret behind French ça va?
What are all the different ways Shakespearean characters say hello?
All that coming up in the very first Words Unraveled. Hello and welcome to Words Unraveled, where we untangle the exciting stories behind many of the words that you use day to day. I'm Rob Watts. I present the YouTube channel Rob Words, where I talk about word facts and language fun. And I'm joined by
Jessa Ferris, and I'm the author of the books Useless Etymology, Once Upon a Word, and Words from Hell. And I manage the blog Useless Etymology, where I dig into the exciting, curious stories behind words you know and love and some you don't.
I do enjoy your books. That's why we're working together on this, because we both have a great deal of shared interest in the magic of the English language.
Yes. So for our first episode, we're going to begin where many conversations begin, with a greeting, and in fact, a number of greetings.
Yeah, because when you first think about it, you think, there's only a couple of ways that we greet each other. And then when you start to really look into it, you realize that there are many ways in which we kick off a conversation.
Not only that, but it's changed a great deal over time. The way Shakespearean characters greeted one another is not the same way we greet one another today. And the way we greet one another today is not the same as we did 200 years ago.
Indeed. And probably the most common way that we greet each other today, I would say, is hello.
That's right.
You can tell us a bit more about hello, right?
Absolutely. This one always surprises people. It's one of the facts that I think bends people's minds the most about language, because it's such a ubiquitous term. But it wasn't coined and didn't become a standard greeting until the 1870s with the introduction of the Bell telephone.
That's amazing that a staple of our language could have come about so late. So what's it got to do with the invention of the telephone?
Well, so originally, it is a variation on older words. There are versions recorded like hallo and hollow with the O's and A's. But all of these terms were ways that you would hail someone from a distance. So say you were on a ship over there and your friend was on a ship over there, you might call hello or hollow to get their attention. Maybe you're walking up to a property and you see someone from a distance. You announce your presence using one of those terms, but they always implied a distance, which makes sense that it would then become a term we use on the telephone,
right,
which was the first means of introducing ourselves or speaking to other people from afar using technology.
I mean, it literally means far sound, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Telephone. Mm-hmm. In fact, in German, it's called Fernsprecher, or it used to be called a Fernsprecher, which literally means far speaker.
That's fantastic. I love that. Mm. So initially, more in the like distance sense that we might understand today, Alexander Graham Bell wanted to use the word ahoy as a telephone greeting, which honestly, I vastly prefer. And there are references to that in like The Simpsons and a number
yes,
of other
yes.
things.
That's right. Mr. Burns, he answers the phone with ahoy, ahoy.
Fantastic. I love
that. By the way, I looked up where ahoy comes from because I suspected it might come up. And there's a greeting that's still used today in Dutch, which is just hoi. And that's where it comes from. It's the Dutch version of hi. But obviously the Dutch were competitors on the high seas with the English back in the day. So we ended up taking their word hoi, sticking it out on the front of it, and we got ahoy.
That's amazing. I love that. Alexander Graham Bell didn't get his way because of Thomas Edison, who I would say was probably the better marketer or brand figure. And he's the one who proposed hello as this like distance term. And he was probably playing on those older terms like hello and hollow.
I like a good hello. Hello.
Related, the word hullabaloo is also based on hollow and was originally commonly spelled hollow ballow as a result. There was a 1762 novel, The Life and Adventures of Sir Lancelot Greaves by Tobias Smollett. It's also spelled hollow ballow. I would there was a blister on this plaguey tongue of mine for making such a hollow ballow.
Oh, that's beautiful. Hullabaloo is quite a satisfying word as it is, but I love a hullabaloo.
Absolutely. But it implies that kind of loud noisiness rather than just a simple greeting.
One of the ways in which Edison got his way with this, by the way, is that he somehow managed to get telephone manufacturers in their instruction booklets and the phone books to standardize what they suggested your opening gambit should be when you picked up the telephone. And do you know what they recommended you should say at the end?
What did they recommend?
A curt, that is all.
That is all. Oh, I love it. I love it. And the people who were saying these, they were called hello girls. They were the telephone operators you see in old photos and videos of people connecting calls. It was almost exclusively young women doing that those roles. So they were called the hello girls.
Oh, I like that. But that word has caught on really widely in lots of different languages. They all just have a variation of hello.
Absolutely. It moved from English into the whole world of telephone communication across the world.
Here in Germany, it's hallo. France, it's allo. Do you know what it is in Italian?
What is it?
It's pronto.
Pronto. Oh, interesting.
I said it with a Spanish accent, but it's pronto. And it just means ready, as in I am ready to begin my conversation with you.
And then in sort of slangy American English, you have pronto means like do something quickly, which I'm assuming is an adaptation of that.
Yeah, I guess it must be.
Another Italian one I think that interests me is the word ciao. Do you know the literal meaning of the word ciao?
No, I don't.
It means slave.
No.
Really? It's a variation on, and I'm going to butcher the pronunciation because I do not speak Italian, but schiavo, which is from the medieval Latin slavus, meaning slave. The idea is, I am your obedient servant.
Wow.
Right?
So deferential. Mm-hmm. Do you know what? I think ciao is probably the most universal salutation because you can use ciao in just about any European country. And you won't. People won't even think you're being cute and using Italian. They will just take it as a salutation. Uh-huh. Like you can say ciao to someone in English, and they won't think, "Oh, that person's speaking Italian to me." It's just a legit way to say goodbye, usually rather than hello. Although in Italian, it can mean hello as well, right?
Absolutely, it's a kind of universal. I'm meeting you or I'm departing, and I think in English you're correct. It's more of a see you later.
And here in Germany, you can say ciao to say goodbye as well. Huh. And you can say it in French as well. So I think if you're only going to learn one term, at least for goodbye, it should be ciao.
Yeah, I think it's a little easier to say across languages than hello, too, because that H can sometimes be tricky for certain dialects and accents. So tell me about some other greetings. One of the questions that I get a lot when I tell people about hello is, you know, well, what did we say before that? Surely people have been saying hello forever. So tell me, what are some other ways that we have greeted one another throughout time?
Well, I think a good place to look for greetings is Shakespeare, because in his plays, there are all manner of them. I've written a few of them down for you. Just give me a second. Cheer is a Shakespearean greeting.
That's right.
What cheer? In particular, mm-hmm. For example, it's used by Hortensio in Taming of the Shrew. He says to Catherine, Mistress, what cheer? And she says, Faith, as cold as can be. That's Kate.
That's wonderful. I like what cheer, though. It kind of assumes that you're already doing great. So like what happiness is happening in your life right now? It's a little bit better than like, what's up?
And this term is still around in English, particularly in British English, and even more specifically than that, in the southwest of England, particularly London and East Anglia and the so-called home counties, where the word watcher is used as a greeting.
Oh my goodness, I knew that term, but I never once connected it with what cheer. Oh my goodness, yeah, that's wonderful. You've blown my mind.
Well, it appears in an episode, in one of the Harry Potter films. Mm-hmm. I did make a note of who said it. It says it's Nymphadora's Tonks.
Oh yeah, that would work which, too.
That can't be a name. That's a real character.
Oh, they all
Nymphadora
have.
Tonks?
They all have wild names. But no, yeah, I think that's probably where I first encountered it too, because you know that was definitely a big part of my childhood.
Yeah, I mean, and I think it baffled quite a lot of American viewers, that one. Actually, there's a lot of quite cute localized greetings in England. I don't know about in the US where you are, but in, for example, my part of England, which is called the East Midlands, which includes Nottingham, Robin Hood's home county. Mm-hmm. Well, actually that's disputed. I'm not going to get into that. Derbyshire, where I'm from, and Leicestershire, we say, "Ayup me duck," when we greet one another.
Can you say that for me again?
I can. Hey up, me duck.
What does that mean?
So the salutation as such is a up, and me duck is my dear or my love.
Oh.
Where I'm from, we say duck. Mm-hmm. And it's perfectly normal for one fella to refer to another fella as duck. I mean, we call everyone me duck there. And then, yeah, you've got a up. And now supposedly the story goes that that comes from an old Norse term, meaning watch out, basically. And that does make sense because, you know, the Danes, they were in that part of England. It was part of the Dane law. So there are little dialect terms from Old Norse and the Vikings that do find their way into our language. And actually, speaking of the Harry Potter bafflement, Angelina Jolie once used Ayup Midduk in front of a crowd as she introduced Jack O'Connell, who is a local lad from around my way, who's come good in Hollywood, or at least, you know, he was kind of the toast of the town 10 years ago. I've not heard an awful lot of him since. But she welcomed him onto stage with Ayup Midduk.
How did that land?
Confusion.
Like, did she stick the landing on that one? Or
she nailed it.
All right.
Dolly Parton also jumped on the bandwagon. But just no one knew what on earth they were going on about. A bit like your reaction then when I said,
right,
Ayup Midduk. It's like, oh, what is that collection of nonsense syllables?
The A-up kind of evokes, you know, what's up or heads up.
Yeah, no, it totally does. And that's exactly the kind of direction that it goes in. But I've digressed, haven't I, from Shakespeare? Sorry.
Oh, no. I mean, you mentioned localized greetings, and I wanted to mention, I'm from the American South. So, you know, this is more Southwest, but the term, like, howdy, more or less, has a surprisingly, like, proper and old origin. It's a reduction of, by several degrees, of, like, howdy, how do you do, how do ye, and originally, like, huet dest thou, from the 14th century. But it's basically like a series of contractions over time from the 14th century all the way to the 1720s. So it's interesting, and another interesting like time warp for you is that howdy is a good deal older than hello.
there you go. And that does bring me back to my next Shakespearean greeting, one that actually people do associate more with the United States, or rather Native American culture, and that is how.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Shakespeare regularly uses, his characters regularly just say how to greet one another.
Or how now.
Indeed, mm-hmm. How now. How now, brown cow. How now is used in As You Like It. How sweet queen appears in Hamlet. And there are two more examples that I want to pull out from Shakespeare. And they're used back to back in Richard III by citizen number three and citizen number one, or first citizen and third citizen. They greet one another with neighbours, Godspeed, and give you good morrow, sir. Mm-hmm. Both of which are ways of saying hello, even though actually Godspeed now might be something we'd somewhat ironically say to someone on departing, as with give you good morrow, which sort of it indicates that you want them to have a good tomorrow, I suppose, or a good morning.
Tomorrow, as I recall, I might have to look this one up, but that one does have an interesting origin, and I'll find out as we continue. But one thing that I think is interesting here is that a lot of greetings in the past tended to be time-based, like good day, good morrow, good afternoon, good evening, or good e'en was sometimes shortened to that. So, you know, I think that was as common as it is, say, in German today with like Guten Tag or Bonjour in French.
That makes a lot of sense. And we should get on to some of the words you've just said there a little bit later when we talk about how we bid adieu to one another. But I think that's something we should do at the end of the podcast.
I think
really.
So
it
too.
Makes sense.
So morrow means morning. It was an earlier version for morning. Looks like it dates back to Old English more or less. And good morrow was very, very common, and it over good morning.
Yeah. So tomorrow is the next
morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to get onto?
So one thing that I think is a little bit interesting is like the word greet itself is from the Old English greitan, meaning to come into contact with someone. To greet someone in Old English wasn't quite the way we use it now. The way we use a greeting now is almost more like a meeting, whereas back then, Greet had a lot of meetings, including seeking something or finding someone, saluting someone, even attacking someone. Like greeting someone in battle was also just as accurate as attacking them in battle. It's originally from a source meaning to call out, much like hello is. So I think that's pretty interesting.
I mean, to greet someone in battle, it does sound rather twee.
Right?
Oh yeah, I greeted. Boy, did I give him a good greeting. Oh no. He means that he actually did fight him. He didn't just waved hello from across the field.
The word salute is often, at least in American English, I feel like it has more of a military implication these days. But you could also say that salute means to praise someone as well. But it ultimately meant greetings or good health. It's from the Latin salus, which meant greetings and good health, literally. The original source is related to the word safe or the Latin word for safe.
Ah,
So a salutation is a hope that someone is safe, happy, and healthy.
that brings me on to something, if I may, that I found out while looking up salutations from around the world. Because in Thailand, the old standard greeting was something called the wai, which literally means salute. It's a gesture, and it's a gesture that Thai people continue to do and consider a very, very important part of their culture. It's where they put their hands together in a sort of a, you know, a prayer position and just bow the head slightly, and that's called wai. And that was the standard greeting until the 1940s, during what's called the Thai Cultural Revolution, when the country stopped being an absolute monarchy and became a constitutional monarchy. And a rather keen dictator issued a decree saying that the standard salutation should change. And this is what the decree was from his office. He said the Prime Minister's considered the matter and believes that in order to enhance the honor of our people and our nation, the order's been given to strongly urge all public servants to say sawas dee to one another when meeting for the first day.
What does Sawasti mean?
Well, it's actually got the same root, believe it or not, as the word swastika.
Oh no.
Because, I mean,
Which
you say, oh no,
it's not
but swastika,
inherently affiliated
indeed,
with.
it's not. And actually, if you do go to Asia, you'll still see swastikas all over the place without any of the stigma that the Nazis attached to the symbol. It comes from a Sanskrit word that means prosperity and good
Of
luck.
course.
So,
That's much more positive.
yeah, indeed. But this was not an established way of saying hello in Thai before then. This was an idea that the dictator had picked up just from some guy he met and decided, yeah, I like that. Let's start using that.
Did it work? Like, is it now a more common greeting?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is the greeting there. And it's also a word for prosperity, but it is the greeting. A
Is.
little side fact about Thai, if I may. When you greet someone, well, for you and I would use different greetings in Thailand, because I would say sawas dee krap, and you would say sawas dee ka, because depending on your gender, so the gender of the speaker,
Okay.
you say a different greeting.
Interesting. So I would say that to anyone, regardless of their gender.
Yeah, if you're trying to be polite to them, it's not just about the greeting. When you say please or thank you as well, you would also put car, and a guy would put crap.
You gender yourself. That's very interesting. I wonder, as gender identity becomes more flexible around the world, how that will evolve the way other languages are gendered. I'm sure it's already happening, but my visibility into it is limited.
Well, I mean, Thailand is famously somewhere where gender fluidity is accepted in a way that it isn't accepted in other parts of the world. But as yet, they haven't tackled that aspect of their language.
Fair enough. So your mention of the why reminds me of the term namaste, which literally means I bow to you. So I think that's kind of a nice sentiment.
Yeah, well, actually, that bow is exactly the same bow as the Thais are deploying. It's something that they got from India.
Oh, excellent. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
One of my favorite, I'd say, greetings from another country. I guess it's two languages, but in Arabic or in Hebrew, I like salam and shalom from the same source, just because assalamu alaikum means peace be upon you. It feels very, I don't know, comforting and friendly.
Yeah, yeah. Particularly now, it's right. Nice to stress the similarities rather than the differences. What else have we got? Oh. I wanted to get into some French.
Oh, you, I love a little right. French.
Yeah. I mean, it's not actually the greeting. It's what you say next after the greeting in French that I want to talk about. Because as in many languages, the thing you say after you've said hello is to inquire how someone is. How are you doing? All right.
So we're talking ça va?
Ça va, precisely. Yes. And you can have a whole conversation with ça va in French. Because it's both the question and the answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ça va, how are you? Ça va, I'm fine. Ça va, how are you back? Ça va, I'm fine as well.
There was the Budweiser ad, the WhatsApp ad, where like the whole conversation is just the word WhatsApp.
You're right. Actually, I hadn't thought of it, but it's just like that, isn't it? But it's even more efficient because it's just four letters and two words. Mm-hmm. But the story behind ça va, which means how's it going, yep. You know, quite literally that's what it means. It's more interesting than how's it going, though, because it's not inquiring how your day is going. We're actually talking here about the more formal version of ça va. It comes from comment allez-vous, mm-hmm. right? Which is, again, how's it going? But that phrase is short for comment allez-vous à la selle, which means how are your stools.
That's fantastic. I didn't know this.
Right. So, okay. So, I disclaimer here. I haven't found a single English language source on this, but I have found a lot of French websites that claim that this is the case. And I'm not going to question it because I don't have the means to disprove it myself.
Do you know?
But,
yeah. Why stools?
So the word "selle" in French means the same as it does in English, as in it's very similar to the word stool insofar as it's something you sit on and it's also what you emit into the toilet. But the phrase comment allez-vous à la selle comes from the early days of medicine when what was considered a good way to gauge someone's overall health was the quality of their bowel movements. I don't know how hands-on they got here, Jess, which I think is what you're fearing. But
how is your stool sample today?
Yeah, exactly. Supposedly the question perhaps that a physician might pose or that you know, one might ask a close friend, very close friend, on greeting them shortly after bidding them hello, bonjour, how's it all going down there? Yeah.
That's incredible.
Nice and fresh. Yeah. So a perfectly normal French conversation, though the speakers may not realise this is what it's saying, is hello, how's your poo? My poo's fine, thank you. How's your poo? Oh, yes, my poo is also fine.
Oh, this is extraordinary. I'm sad I didn't know this before writing my book, Words from Hell, because it's very pertinent to several of the chapters in there.
I don't think it's very widely known in the English-speaking world.
So let's take that as
our first Words Unraveled exclusive, albeit it's several hundred years old.
It almost sounds too funny to be true. It's incredible.
Yeah. And you often find that things that do sound too good to be true are. But let's just hope that one is.
I do think it's interesting that, like, so many languages have a goodbye, a farewell that has something to do with, like, you know, I'll see you when we're dead. Sort of implying, like, yeah, like,
pardon?
Like adieu and things along those lines. Anything that means, like, to God sort of implies it's more of a final farewell, especially since we were talking about French, like, au revoir versus adieu is, like, I'll never see you again, so see you in heaven or wherever else. And then the other one is until I see you again. So I do think it's interesting. It feels a little fatalistic.
Yeah, but do you know what? I went to Japan last year, and I had been told before I went that the standard way of saying goodbye, and I think this is quite widely known, is sayonara, right? But the first time I used it, someone said, don't say sayonara to me. That basically sounds like you're saying, I'm going outside to die now. Goodbye. I this. It's like, it's a final farewell. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're not supposed to say that, say goodbye. I wish I could tell you what you're actually supposed to say, but it has momentarily slipped my mind. Oh. I did make a little video about it if anyone's interested though.
I suppose you could also interpret like adio or adios in Spanish as being a little more hopeful, like maybe God go with you, sort of like the term goodbye, which I believe you also brought some info on.
I did indeed, yes, because we, again, it's a word that we take for granted, but it's got a really interesting story. So, I mean, there are a couple of theories, but one of them is definitely more convincing than the other. And that is that goodbye is short for, as we've just talked about,
God be with you.
God be with you. Indeed. Yeah. The other theory is that it's short for God by you. But as we were about to hear, that doesn't quite fit with the early sort of citations of goodbye and how it was spelt, because this is where the story gets interesting. So yeah, sure, the God turned into good. You know why that is? It's because most of the ways that we say goodbye, they have good in them, or, you know, most greetings have.
You could also say goodbye by saying, you know, good day, you know, good day to you. I'm out.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So the God turned into to good basically through conflation, but through confusion, really. But the by bit, which by is not a word, you know, before goodbye comes along. You know, we say bye bye now, but that's just us referencing the word goodbye.
Uh-huh.
You know, and the earliest spellings of goodbye are G-O-D, right? So you've got your God. And then the rest of the word is B-W-Y-E.
Huh.
So the Y-E at the end is ye, the plural of you. Or it might just be a shortened way of saying you, which is fine. You know, we use it a bit like that now. But the B and W in the middle are abbreviations, text speak style abbreviations of B and with.
That's amazing.
So you end up with good, so you basically end up with the word goodbye with a W in it that falls away as people start to understand it as, you know, these two parts, good and bye.
That's interesting too, because initialisms and acronyms are very rare in before like the 1850s. They just simply weren't a thing that people did very often. But I could guess, this is pure speculation, but I could guess that God be with ye would appear frequently in, say, religious texts or writings or letters where, you know, since you're writing it out, it might be more likely for you to use a shorthand. I know that a lot of religious texts are also used a shorthand that's kind of hard to read for your modern reader. So I wonder if it has something to do with that.
No, you've hit the nail on the head. I think this way of writing goodbye with the B and the W is from the end of letters and missives and you know, little notes to one another that people were writing and got bored of repeatedly writing the same thing at the end.
Of course. We all skew toward laziness in the end, right? We shorten. We use shorthand increasingly over time. We invent new ways of communicating shorthand. So very cool.
Yeah, we all skew towards laziness is a good way of explaining so very many of the quirks of the English language.
I mean, that's where we got like hey and hi. Did you, so when I was a kid, this doesn't happen anymore. Saying hey as a greeting is completely fine. But when I was a kid, I was told like, don't say hey, it's too casual. The teachers would say, hey is for horses, say hello, which is so funny because I'm pretty sure hey, like, and I'm not just pretty sure, I'm aware, hey and hi are more likely or older terms for, you know, at least saluting someone, even if it's from a distance.
That's the one takeaway from this is that hello is just some upstart.
Right.
That we've only been using for a very short amount of time.
Hoser.
Well, I think we've covered all that we can on greetings, salutations, and goodbyes.
I think so. This has been a good one. And I think it's like we're off to a great start and we have a lot more to talk about after the beginning of the conversation, right?
Yeah, and I look forward to all of the different areas we're going to cover in the upcoming podcasts. Thank you so much, Jess.
Thank you. And everybody, tune in next time. We're looking forward to bringing you more magical word facts and unraveling the threads of the English language.
That is all.